joining us for part two of Understanding Childhood Anxiety. In our last episode, we heard from two kids, Christy and Francesca, as well as their mothers, Kara and Jill, about recognizing anxiety. Encompass Behavioral Health Manager Megan Walsh also lent her professional insight on the differences between stress and anxiety and the physiology behind it. Today, each of our guests will share helpful strategies for managing anxiety.
For me, there's two different things that I can do. Sometimes I'll need my alone time and I'll either play the guitar or the piano or do art and things like that. Or being out with friends, it's able to help take my mind off of it. What do you find helps you?
Well, I think my mom has helped me figure out some things, like breathing helps me a lot. Yeah. And Amy really figured out, well, my mom mainly did, but she figured out why I'm listening to the book that I read on audio. I read it with the book, and I somehow just calm down. But school also helps me get my mind off of it, usually. So I like going to school and getting it, to have it take it off my mind.
That's good. What did your parents do really well that helped support you when you were first going through that?
Well, I don't really talk to my dad about, because I don't feel comfortable talking to him about. But my mom always helps me with it. But of course, the one time I always talk to her at night, because I always am so forgetful. I forget about in the day. Did your parents do anything to help you?
It took me a while to be able to talk to my mom about it at first, and it was kind of hard for us because going through that time, my mom and I would fight a lot because both of us were going through some stressful points in our lives, and it kind of clashed because we weren't very open about that. So the one thing that she did do was help normalize going to therapy for me, because that was always something that there was a stigma around, and I never wanted to do it, but she helped me be able to tell myself that it's okay, that I need that help, and having her tell me that's okay really helped. Is there something that you wish that your mom would have done differently?
I don't think so. Maybe she doesn't let me all the time talk at night, but if she let me talk all the way out, then I would be if she did that every day, that'd be perfect. But I can't sleep unless I talk about it.
So for talking to you, or talking about it, is it more getting things off your chest?
Yeah, getting things off my chest so I don't have to think about them in the night.
So the things you talk about, is that things that just have been on your mind all day, things that are making you anxious?
Well, mainly I always think about all the things that make me super anxious at night. They all come back to me at night. So that's the one time that I mainly have to talk about them or I won't fall asleep.
Yeah. Is there anything that helps you get your mind off of it besides talking about it? So when your mom's not able to talk with you, what are you able to do to try and help yourself get to sleep?
Well, my sister just told me another idea to think. So I tried thinking in my bed, and it really worked. And also just listening to something also helps me think.
Yeah, I do that same thing too. When I go to bed, I have to have something on in the background. I'll have a TV show, or I'll have music on in the background, or else I won't be able to sleep.
Yeah, I can't also sleep without something in the background, or it's peace and quiet and I start thinking so much.
That's the exact same way I am. If it's completely silent, it's my mind does not turn off. I keep having the thoughts going around and around.
Yeah. Is there any other skills that really helped you?
I think for me, just finding a hobby that I really liked to do and didn't have any pressure on it really helped. So I also like to ski and play sports, and doing those things, having an activity to get my mind off of it and just focus on that right there really helps. And I also really like to read, and so getting into a good book is something that always, takes my mind off of everything else.
We've just heard Christy and Francesca sharing how they manage their anxiety. And now their mothers, Kara and Jill, lend their perspectives and insights.
Do your kiddos have different strategies to help them manage their anxiety? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are your kids' go-tos?
So my son likes to listen to music. He also told me recently when he was experiencing anxiety, I'm like, you know, I'll text you, I'll check with you. He's like, no, that makes it worse. I need to kind of put myself in my own space and listen to music and distract myself. He's, you know, sometimes he'll do a video game or something, but if he's at school or it's transitioning, it's kind of doing those opposite things that he can't get to. My other one, my daughter, she very much talks to herself. So mm-hmm. she's like, I can do this. And it's kind of the power of her words that help her. But she also does things at night. She has a sound machine that really helps her. She listens to books on tape a lot more than she used to, and that really helps her. And for her, talking about it helps, where my son doesn't always want to talk about it. Yeah. My daughter wants to talk about it.
Mine definitely having, you know, kind of accessing that other side of her brain. Music, mm-hmm. she'll tinker on piano or guitar and just kind of having that movement or art. She definitely, you know, that kind of allows her to switch some of those thought processes over.
Do you ever find that as your daughter's getting older, because I know with like my daughter who's talking more, she'll come to me at night, of course, is always when she wants to talk about her anxiety. And for me, it's really difficult because it's bedtime and I'm like, right. You gotta get to bed, mommy's tired, you need to get to sleep. If talking about your anxiety, is it gonna make it better or is it gonna make it worse at bedtime, you know?
Yeah.
And so what we've kind of come to talking to about lately is she's like, it really helps because it's the quietest time of my day.
Yeah.
And I am able to talk about those things. So to work out like, okay, well, if you need that time, we kind of have to change our bedtime routine a little bit and go to bed a little bit earlier so we can talk about that. But I guess my question was, she can come to me and kind of own her anxiety a little bit more and tell mm-hmm. me what she needs. And I'm wondering if your daughter, as she's a little bit older, if she's, you've seen her progressively get to do that more and more every year as she develops.
Yeah, I think she is a lot more comfortable talking about it. And I think that's part of her process. We have worked to talk more around it and really talk about, I'll go back and say, hey, I was not my best self. You know, I know you were having trouble and I continued with that. You know, so we kind of have moments where we reconnect after a blow up that may be mm-hmm. kind of dramatic, but that's how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to reconnect and I'm able to say, hey, like I did not do that right. I want to do over. And that allows her to also have those moments to say, you know what, that wasn't fair. It wasn't about me unloading the dishwasher. I'm worried about this test. And so really taking those moments after kind of the release of that moment to come back and talk about what it really was. But I would say yes, she's just, it is part of her life. It's going to be part of her life. And being able to talk about it freely and openly takes away some of that shame. And as she was embarrassed and, you know, was uneasy about it, you know, and to hear more and more people experience these same things on a daily basis or weekly basis, it's important that we're talking about these and talking about really healthy coping strategies through exercise, through mindfulness, through work with a therapist or art or whatever that outlet may be. And so hopefully that it's not having to be, you know, kept in and stored, and that creates a lot of turmoil in little bodies.
I love what you said about, because I think this is so true, and as I work through anxiety with my kids, and I've kind of helped educate other people now on anxiety, to know that as parents, we're human too, right?
Yeah.
And we just want our kids to be okay. We don't want them to feel sad. We don't want them to worry. And it's out of our control when we're, you can't talk kids through their worry. You can't make it go away.
Yeah.
All you can do is help them to understand that anxiety is normal, that everybody experiences anxiety at one point or another in their life, whether it's taking a test or a job interview, or maybe it's going off to school that day or going to a friend's in a sleepover. I mean, someone will experience anxiety, and so to normalize that for them is one thing that we can do, but we can also come back And if we're talking to, if they're like starting to bring up an anxiety, for example, like if one of my kids are going to bed and they want to talk about it, I'm like, no, I can't talk about it. I got to go to bed. It's 9 o'clock and I'm so tired. But to come back the next day and say, you know, I'm really sorry. I know that that was really important to you. And to know that we're human and we're not going to do everything perfect, and anxiety and working on those coping skills and learning about it is a process. And it's one that I think as a family, we have developed together. But it's not a perfect process by any means.
It's messy.
Every personality is different. Every anxiety looks different.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So you really started seeing anxious or signs of anxiety with your kiddo from the beginning. As you think back to those early ages, you know, when he was 1, 3, 4, what do you wish you would have known?
Well, I think it's really hard to know that it was anxiety at the time. But I think looking back, if I would have known whether it was behavior or anxiety, that with all young kids, just normalizing their feelings with them is probably one of the most basic, important things that you could do with a young child. That I understood them and helped them to understand words to put to what they're feeling. So they were feeling sadness or joy, to start naming that for them at an early age, to start, you know, helping them to learn how to express that at an early age, to just be really patient with that. So when they're crying more, you have that more excessive crying, or days when your child is acting out behaviorally because it could be anxiety, to be more patient and to just wrap your arms around them and let them know it's going to be okay. This feels really big, but I'm here to help you.
I've been reading a new book called Permission to Feel, and it kind of links into that of just, I think as parents, we want to, and we talk, you know, kind of the main four, you know, happy, sad, mad, but tired, and really that we need to be teaching our kids more depth and variety in the emotion words that we are talking. So I see you're really frustrated, and just labeling that it's okay to be frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get frustrated a lot, and being angry is okay. It may not be okay to throw a book or something, but it's okay to be really mad or frustrated.
But I think, you know, with that being said, it's not okay to throw a book. And you're right. But at a young age with a preschooler, because they can't control their behavior, I think that just understanding why.
Yeah.
And as a parent, when you have a young child, knowing that it's okay for young children to have anxiety, to feel that, and to kind of, I think if I could have someone come beside me during those times and say, you know, how do you experience anxiety and how do you cope mm-hmm. with it, and be able to understand it, anxiety for myself, so I feel more comfortable, so I can be comfortable with my kids.
Yeah.
So just really being able to normalize anxiety as something normal, and it's okay. So even though throwing the book's not okay, we understand why they may be doing that. And that puts a lot of patience and less pressure of feeling like you have to react right away.
I like how you say it, like normalizing kind of your own anxiety around, you know, raising young kids is really tough and challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that you're the only one experiencing that, you don't often want to talk about that, because there's a lot of fear and anxiety around that. You know, if your kiddo having big emotions, whether, you know, it be anger, crying, you know, kind of these big feelings.
Thanks for joining us again, Megan.
So parents, we all try to help our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some common mistakes that a parent might make when they're trying to help their child with anxiety?
So many times parents will feel like they just need to push the child through it. Sometimes they'll think it's a behavioral issue and they'll punish the child for the behavior. And we want to be really careful about that, because when the child's in fight or flight mode, when they're having those strong feelings of anxiety, research shows us that it's impossible to respond to logic, to respond to questions and consequences. And so we really want to make sure that we're helping the child regulate instead of punishing for the behavior that they can't control.
Yeah, I've heard some parents say things like, oh, they just need to toughen up.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So what are some ways that a parent can gently help their child calm down, kind of get back to their feelings of being safe and secure, and then in general, manage their anxiety.
Sure. So I really like to work with kids and parents to create a plan, because I think anything's easier to deal with when you know how to deal with it. And so really being intentional about working with them on a three-step plan. First, we're going to regulate. Then we're going to relate to the child. And then we're going to teach the child about the lagging skills so that they can use those skills the next time. So some of the things that we'll do if you're going to help a child regulate, one of my favorites is you help them to stimulate their vagus nerve. And that's on each side of the voice box. So it could be that you're going to hum a song with them, or you're going to sing with them, or maybe chew some bubble gum. It makes me think about Pete Carroll. Maybe that's why he's chewing bubble gum during Seahawks games. So we really want to look at that. You can also gargle. Kids think it's super funny to listen to their parent gargle. So have a gargling contest with just regular water. And that stimulates that vagus nerve, and that's calming to our bodies. So it can be really amazing to do that with regulation. You can also work on breathing techniques. You can help, when kids start to feel anxious, they do a lot of rapid, shallow breaths. And so we want to help them to breathe deeply. That's three counts in, three counts out, and we want to hold it for three counts in between. So helping them to know we breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And doing that with them, because then they're getting that sense of co-regulation. You're using your ability to regulate to help them regulate. And then the other thing that's really exciting, I think, is to do crossing midline activities with kids. And that is something that if we do an activity where you might move your right arm to the left side of your body and your left arm to the right side of your body, you're crossing your midline. And that's connecting your brain and your body. And it's activating both the logical side of the brain and the emotion side of the brain. So things like cross marches or windmills, having the child wipe the table with only one hand gets them to cross that midline. You can also draw a figure eight and kind of walk around the figure eight with your child. And that'll get those midline activities going.
That's really cool. So I want to go back to the breathing for a quick second. I saw this in action last night at an event, and a child was having a really, really, really tough time. The mother was very, very calm. When she finally got the child back in her arms, I watched her as they went through deep breathing. And I'm telling you, probably within 10 seconds, and he was hyperventilating and, you know, almost out of control. But within very few seconds, he was calm. So it was really nice to see that.
That's amazing. And I think the important thing about that is that mom brought the child close to them, you said. And so that gave that child a feeling of safety. They knew that mom was a safe person. And then mom used her mirror neurons. So she was safe, the child was safe, and the child can reflect back her safety. And that's a really beautiful example of how we can use breathing to help kids calm.
Excellent. So some kids in that circumstance may not want close physical contact. So what can a parent do?
Absolutely. I have a kiddo that's like that as well. And so I think it's really important to listen to the child and to give them that space that they need. They may be doing their own sense of regulation, and when we try to get too close, it interrupts that. So giving them space, but letting them know I'm nearby, I'm here if you need me. Making sure that that message is still getting to them, that you're not upset with them for being dysregulated, you're being there to support them in their own time and their own space.
Right, so meeting them where they're at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in general, what can parents do on a consistent basis to try to minimize a child's possibly ongoing anxiety?
Mm-hmm. I really think so much of it is increasing your playfulness, increasing humor. I mean, if you think about times in your life where you've been really stressed or feeling anxious about something, and you look at a funny comic or watch a silly movie, it lightens things up for a little bit. And so building in kind of those fun things, maybe you play a goofy game or you watch a silly cartoon together, telling jokes, that kind of thing can be really helpful. I also like to encourage parents to create a ritual for before and after an activity that's usually anxiety producing for the kiddo. So maybe if you're going to go to school, on the way to school, you guys always listen to a certain song that pumps the child up and gets them ready to face the day. And maybe after school, you spend some time running around at the park so that they know they're going to have a chance to get those emotions out physically. But having something that they can rely on each day, both before and after the anxiety-producing activity, can be really helpful. Another thing that you can do to kind of wrap things up is to reflect verbally after the child is calm. So if the child has experienced an anxious time, then we're going to want to ask them about that, but calmly and not during the anxiety, but afterwards, and ask them, how hard was that on a scale of 1 to 10? What was that like? If you could peek through a window and see yourself going through that situation, what would you want to tell yourself? Let them have an opportunity to get some distance from the situation, but think about it and process it and think about what they did well and what they were still struggling with so that you can identify what you can help them to work on from then on.
Wow. Thank you very much. Excellent tips, excellent information for us parents that have to deal with it.
Thanks for having me.
Today we've heard several helpful tips for managing anxiety from kids, their mothers, and a behavioral health expert. For additional resources and to subscribe to the Encompass Parent Talks podcast, please visit our website, www.encompassnw.org.